Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Monday. Good morning. Matt Smith in for Josh Dover. Stoke is in the building. Dover, a few too many in Vegas. Had to extend the trip. That's what they told me. At least I'm going to put that out there.
I'm not sure about all that.
Are you not?
I'm not sure about that. He was out in Vegas rocking and rolling, so hopefully he won some money. And had a good time. But I'm looking forward to the show. I'm ready to rock and roll, man. Getting to the Nuggets, the Avs, the Broncos. Nuggets bouncing back. They needed it. I was getting concerned.
Were you getting a little concerned? Two-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Yep, I was.
Two good playoff teams.
I was getting a little concerned. Well, I think for me, I'm just concerned about the guys that just, and I want to kind of understand where you're at in this thing. The guys that just think now all of a sudden, you know, that we're God's gift to basketball. And that, oh, you know, just because we're the Nuggets, we're just going to roll through the West. Like, there's not any good teams in the West. And I'm calling out pretty much Zach and Josh.
Okay.
Right.
Well, what did they say?
Well, they just think that, oh, Phoenix. Oh, don't worry about Phoenix. Ah, the Clippers. Don't worry about the Clippers.
Oh,
and I'm like, man, we got to start putting a little bit more respect on some of these teams, man, because they're coming for the Nuggets. And I get it. I love the Denver Nuggets and the starting five. I'm very concerned about the bench. But at the same time, it's like, all right, I just think that, you know, those guys have me nervous just with how they just kind of toss aside some of these teams with superstars. They got superstars, too. Durant, Booker, and they got dudes around them now. Clippers, Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Westbrook. They got a good bench. So it's like, I just don't like that attitude at all, and it's got me concerned, okay? And then I see what they look like against Minnesota, where it's just like, just smacked, on the heels of Phoenix coming to town and losing to Phoenix after they beat you the game that you played them before,
right?
And you had all their attention, and the bench looked awful. So yeah, I was just a little bit concerned. I'm not saying that, you know, I was panicking, but I was a little bit concerned by what I was watching.
Straight to business on a Monday morning.
I'm not in the mess around mood.
Straight to business this morning.
It was hailing.
I know.
I was leaving, y'all making fun of me. I'm like, damn. I'm like, damn, I'm not driving my car in hail. Sorry.
I'm just glad you made it to work okay today. It looks like you're a little rattled from what was a tough weekend, apparently. And then the hail on it just threw you off today. But
yeah,
you're here now.
No, not a tough weekend. Happy Easter to everyone.
How was your Easter?
Oh, it was all good. All good. Had a good time. It was good. It was good. Easter's great.
What'd you guys get into?
Had a big
scavenger
crew.
Hunt?
No. We're done with
How
that
How many
stuff.
Eggs did you find?
We're done with that, Matt. Done with that stuff.
Okay.
I've passed that.
Bunny didn't stop by?
I was with Zach yesterday and Bearcat Jim and Cousin Johnny and Aunt Gloria, the whole crew. So we had them over to CGC.
Okay.
Love doing that. Shout out to them. And so just had a great brunch.
That sounds nice.
But the Easter egg hunt deal for me.
You've graduated past that.
Yeah. I used to be the one.
To be the bunny?
No, just hiding eggs.
Oh, you'd help the bunny?
No.
Doesn't the bunny hide the eggs?
I would hide the eggs at my house just for my two kids.
Right, but don't you tell the kids that it was the bunny that
No. This wasn't any.
Oh, this
kind
is a
of
different Easter at your house. You do Easter differently.
This is Cajun Easter.
Oh, it's a Cajun Easter.
Yeah. So it's like there is no. The Easter bunny's not hiding the eggs. The Easter bunny left the Easter basket.
The bunny lays the eggs.
The Easter bunny left the basket. I am hiding the eggs that I went by from King Supers and stuffed with candy. Okay, and then you got a couple golden eggs. You know, maybe you put a five in there.
Sure, a little
maybe,
fiver.
Maybe a 10.
Sawbuck.
That used to be me. I used to love doing it, but not anymore. So I've graduated from that, and it's all good. But watching Zach with his two kids,
oh,
little
sure,
ones,
great.
Right?
Yeah.
So we had some little ones still involved, which is awesome. And so it was fun. Good day.
And I assume on your way to the CGC, you heard Kyle and I, right? 7 to 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You guys were locked in.
You know what's
the whole
fun?
Family
you know
in
what's
the car.
Funny? I was, and it was at the very end of your show.
Oh, is that right?
It was at the very end of your show that we were leaving. I was like, dang, these guys are working on Easter. So I did.
Every Sunday morning, 7 wow. to 10. Shout out. Free plug. Oh, it
yeah.
is commitment. All right, you brought it up. The Nuggets, they did bounce back. We have tons to get into today. NCAA tournament, obviously the Nuggets, which was an important bounce-back victory. And I know we bounced around there, Stoke, but I feel the very same that you did. After that Minnesota game on Friday night, no Jamal Murray, Stoke, I started to feel like this team is getting to the point where, look, they're burned out, man. I mean, you want to go through every member of the starting five. Jamal Murray, he's got the, you know, shin splints. He's got the twisted ankle that he rolled last week. Now he's got the knee inflammation. He popped up on the injury report. No shin splints, no ankle, just knee inflammation. And he had that knee inflammation when he popped the ACL a couple of years ago, okay? And we were all a little bit concerned about it then. The point is here, Stoke, is, look, I mean, this is a banged-up team. Despite being, you know, the best record in the NBA since the All-Star break, this team has certainly been laboring through it. Jokic with the wrist, the back. KCP's had the hammy. He's got the finger injury. MPJ, the drop foot. Aaron Gordon, plantar fasciitis. And on Friday night against Minnesota, to me, it looked like it all caught up to them. And so I wondered if Michael Malone was going to maybe start to ease the foot off the gas. He talked after the game about taking his blinders off and seeing the bigger picture. Well, Murray didn't play, but the rest of the guys played. And I actually really loved the way that they approached yesterday because they won in the manner that good teams are supposed to win late in the year. You blow a team out in three quarters, and you put your guys on ice in the fourth quarter for the most part. Now, Michael Malone, he plays them still in the fourth, which I wish sometimes maybe he'd kind of lay off and settle for winning by 10 instead of maybe by 17 on occasion here down the stretch. Point being, you're right. It was an important bounce-back win, and they got it done in the fashion that he has been banging the table for the last several months. Don't mess around in the third quarter. Don't play with your food. Have a comfortable lead so we can take this thing into the barn easy, and they did yesterday. 130 to 101, Stoke. They had 36 assists on 50 makes with 21 threes. They shot 21 of 33 from the three-point line, and they absolutely blew the doors off the Cavs.
Yeah, that was a nice way to, like you said, bounce back there. Jokic had it going. I mean, he had some unbelievable passes in that game. And, I mean, 26 points, 18 rebounds, 16 assists. I could have used a few of those assists on Friday night when I remembered to place the triple-double bet like I forgot to yesterday because, you know, it was Easter Bunny time. And then I look up, I'm like,
oh,
yeah,
you forgot,
early start, of course. And then it's like, yeah, oh, he's definitely hitting triple-double tonight. But I wasn't bitter at all.
Don't worry
about that.
Could not be me.
Yeah. But like Reggie Jackson, I mean, where, like 5 for 5 from three? I mean, where has this been?
19 points in 23 minutes. That is what you need from Reggie Jackson. Now, you're not going to get 5 of 5 every night, but you can get 2 of 2 coming off the bench in the playoffs. That's exactly what they need. They've got to find a way to replace Bruce Brown's 11 to 12 points per game. I don't know if he's going to be able to give you that much, which is why hopefully come playoff time, we see a little bit better version of MPJ than we saw last year to kind of make up for that.
Yeah.
But again, I thought yesterday was really impressive. Jokic, 26, 18, 16. He was a plus 37. You know, nobody since 1965 has had 26, 18, and 16 in a game. How is that? That doesn't seem like that impressive of a stat line for his standards, but oh my gosh. I mean, this guy does something historic every night, and that's exactly why, Stoke, that he's on his way to his third MVP. He's about to cash it in. You're about to cash it in. Ching.
Yep. He certainly is. Going back to, like, Reggie Jackson and the bench and how bad it's been.
Yeah.
The lack of scoring is so concerning from that group. And you're right. You're going to have to get someone else. And hopefully Jamal will be healthy and he plays with those guys for a little bit and they can sprinkle in a starter to help him out. But when you look at Christian Brown, when you look at Peyton Watson, Reggie Jackson, I mean, those are going to be the guys that are going to have to score the basketball for him in the playoffs when it matters the most.
I was trying to figure out what that rustling was. It's the fan. We've got to move this fan.
Oh, yes. Oh, you hear something?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, well, you should have said something when we started the show 8 minutes ago.
I didn't. I just put two and two together. Okay. It's a Monday. Give me a break,
okay,
will you?
I will.
Maybe the other side, I'll be with it. Matt Smith in for Dover alongside Stokes.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
You like playoffs? Well, I got some playoffs for you. Nuggets, sixth year in a row yesterday, clinched the playoffs. But it was the Avalanche, Stoke, the day before, seven straight years in the NHL playoffs. And remember, when this whole streak started for the Avalanche, they were the worst team in the NHL. Fewest amount of points. Patrick Waugh gets fired right before the year. Jared Bednar gets hired. 48-point season. And then the next year, seven straight seasons of heading to the playoffs. So I just want to put that out there, right? Have a little bit of perspective, because while we have such a high standard for both of these teams, let's recognize that these days don't last forever. And we've watched the organic development of two franchises in both the Nuggets and the Avalanche. And we've grown the connection with this team, with their stars. It wasn't like, you know, you kind of built this team fly by night through free agency, either one of them. It's homegrown. And for the Avs, look, five unanswered goals to rally back against the Predators without Val Nichushkin on Saturday. They went down 4-2, Stoke, at the beginning of the second period. At which point, your guy, Alexander Georgiev, little frustrated. We've seen some more frustration from Georgiev this year than we did last season, for sure. Goes to flick the puck out of the net, does it a little too emphatically, and ends up sending the puck into the crowd. At which point, Jared Bednar says that's enough after Georgiev was assessed an unsportsmanlike penalty, pulls Georgiev, replaces him with Justus Ahonen, and Ahonen proceeds to earn the third star of the game, 22 for 22 saves in relief as the Avs storm back once again and beat the Preds and clinch the playoffs. My first question to you is, despite these furious comebacks that are exciting, and that's probably when you see the Avs A game, are we getting concerned here now 2 years in a row? The Avs are really having trouble, you know, getting out to good starts?
Well, yeah. You know, it's kind of a head-scratcher when you have the talent that they have, and you seem to be coming from behind a lot.
A lot.
And too much, right, with the dudes. You're talking about, this isn't a defensive team. This is an offensive juggernaut that shouldn't be putting themselves in these positions as often as they do. It's, you know, we saw it last year, Seattle, in the playoffs.
Every game.
Every game, they got behind the eight ball and gave up the first goal to Seattle. So, which is just unbelievable to even say and think about with this Avs team, that every game against Seattle, they started out behind 1-0. So, they do have a knack for coming back. I think they lead the NHL in comebacks, something like that. And so, you know, you feel good about that, but at the same time, it's like, man, it just feels like you're playing with fire here a little bit when you keep finding yourself having to make miraculous comebacks, and it's just like, is that sustainable? I don't know. You know, there was some concern there when you look at the two losses in a row, right, to the Canadiens and the Rangers. You fall behind. The goalie situation here, Matt, and I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
It's – they gave Ahonen, a little extension there last
week?
Yeah,
2 years, 833.
So I like him as the backup. And in spurts, some games, it's like, okay, this guy can step up and you know, get it done for you if you need – but Georgie's the guy, right? I mean, he's got to be the guy that if you want to win a cup, that has to be a little bit more consistent.
No question. No question. I thought he looked really good a week ago. And even in that Montreal game, look, he got no goal support. They scored one goal against one of the worst teams in hockey. They just didn't have it that night. And then against the Rangers, he was sensational. He got beat in the shutout, in the shootout rather, but outside of that, I thought Georgiev was great against the Rangers. He always steps up when he plays his former team. But that was definitely a little bit of a concern the other night. Now, the Avs definitely haven't been as dominant necessarily in front of him, right? They're not as good of a puck possession team as they were that 22 Cup run. That team was just, you stepped on the ice. I mean, they were foaming at the mouth. That's how hungry they were. And I don't know if you remember this moment, but we're sitting there at Brothers Barbecue 2 years ago for our Avs War Room. And to quote Zach, there's only one version of being starving. And we were debating, Stoke, whether or not this team, after winning a Stanley Cup championship, would be as hungry as they were. Because there's nothing like your first time. And those boys were, I mean, they were driven to win a cup that year. We all knew it in January. We said, as long as they're healthy, they hit the playoffs, they're winning the cup. But after that point, it feels like 2 years in a row where they're approaching the game and waiting for a team to bring them a game. And did Nashville ever do that? That was a playoffs. I thought it was the chippiest game of the season. Playoff-style hockey, really physical. And I thought it woke the Avs up a little bit. But you're right. Without Alexander Georgiev playing at a high level, if you're not playing at a high level in front of him, you're real beatable. And it's a concern to me because they struggle to string together three periods. And if you enter the playoffs, to your point, sustainability. I was telling and screaming that the way that they had been winning up until the trade deadline was unsustainable. Well, against the Penguins, you go down 3-0, you go down 4-1, and then against the Preds, you go down 4-2. You're not getting out of the first round if you can't figure that part of it out. And it is very confusing because there's more than enough talent in there. It's just some sort of messaging. Now, I think maybe part of it could be human nature. It's 1 of 82, the regular season. They know when it matters. But I think there's also another part of it. How much do you think Gabriel Landeskog not being there affects that?
Well, I mean, how long has he been out for?
2 years,
yeah,
almost.
So I'm
but
not,
it's been
no.
2 years since they've been able to come to the ice that way.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, sure. Like, you're talking about one of your best players, right? I mean, will that help?
I think it
would help. You know, a guy that's a leader. So if he's missing, obviously that hurts you a little bit, but I'm not going to look at that saying, okay, you know, because that's not going to help. That's not going to get fixed. This group's got enough talent to not continue to find itself in these situations.
Yeah, and three-goal hole. You can't be doing that in the playoffs.
You just can't. But I look at the situation here, and going back to the goalie situation, and you mentioned it, against Nashville, he gets pulled. Georgie does, right? Do you think there could be a situation coming up where this thing kind of gets flipped a little bit? Has Bednar had it with Georgie? Like you said, he had a couple decent games there. Wasn't on him those two losses there. Offensively, they got to be better.
Right.
Especially against the Canadians, a bad team. I mean, you got to score more than one goal.
Right.
Especially when you scored in the first 10 damn seconds of the game.
No kidding.
That was it.
No kidding.
Right? So, but at the same time, what do you think Bednar's, is he frustrated with Georgie? Is it like, all right, buddy, if you're not on your game, there's a quick hook, and we might start seeing Nananen a little bit more than Georgie?
Well, I think the frustration that Alexander Georgiev has shown us this year has Bednar concerned, because that's when you show your opponent that they're in your head, or that you're weak, or that you're vulnerable or susceptible, and he doesn't like that. One of the character traits of the Avs, poise, right, infallibility. You're not going to crack this code of McKinnon and McCarr and Rantanen and, you know, all of this dynamic talent. Mentally, you'll never best us. But when your goalie is a bit of a head case back there, he's, you know, refraining himself from smashing a stick. He's launching a puck into the stands accidentally because he's frustrated. And he got beat clean on that fourth goal, by the way, that he launched it. I mean, that was just a one-on-one. He just got beat by the glove. He was better than he was. He was better last year than he was this year. And I think Bednar is starting to see some of this frustration. And it doesn't hurt that Justus Onanen is playing better and better and better. Now, it's not ever going to get to a point where you're rolling out Justus Onanen game one of the playoffs. But I'll just say, before the end of the regular season, getting Georgiev's confidence to a really good place is a priority for sure.
And what I like here for me is send a message to the guy. Send a message to Georgie. And that's what he's doing. Like, hey, nah. And it's because it's getting late in the season here.
Right.
Like, we're not going to have this nonsense starting the playoff time, right? I'm not playing that. So, like, get your stuff together and get ready to go because it's about to be playoff time when everything is on the line here. So I really like that move by Bednar. I don't know. Is that embarrassing in hockey to get yanked right then and there?
For sure.
In that type of situation. It wasn't like he gave up 7 goals. But I like him sending that message in that moment. Like, all right, buddy, buckle up. If you're not on your game and you're acting like this, you will be replaced.
So let me ask you a question. Eustace Onanen is going tonight in Columbus for the Avs.
Right.
Does that continue the message?
I think so. I think it really does. I think it really does. I mean, who's your starting goalie?
Georgiev.
Okay. He gets pulled, and then now you have a chance to put him back in there, just kind of tap him on the back and say, hey, you know, all right, let's go. We're going to need you here. But they're not doing that. And so I think his message is continuing here from Bednar.
A little slap on the wrist.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I don't hate it either. Look, we will get back to the Avs because we have a ton more to talk to. Nathan McKinnon's leading the points race. I mean, we could be bringing home a Hart Trophy and a Norris Trophy and, God willing, a Stanley Cup trophy. That would be nice. All right, on the other side, NCAA tournament action yesterday. The Final Four is set, and we have a massive game upcoming tonight. We'll break it all down next.
Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You are on one today. Telling me to turn the mic on, and you got a mouthful of banana. What am I going to do? Turn the mic on. What are you going to say over there, mush mouth? Yeah, that's right. Matt Smith in for... Yeah, you see, he couldn't even respond. He didn't have his mic on.
Mouthful of banana.
Don't get on me today about not having mic on.
That's why I wanted you to get the mic on, because I wasn't ready to talk, and you were late. You were still BSing with Richie in here. So, you know.
I'm just trying to catch up with the fellas. Is that so wrong?
Do that on your own time.
Okay, all right.
That's what they used to tell us.
That's what they used to tell us. Join in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. By the way, you know, the hail had you so rattled today, you never even asked me how my Easter was.
I know I didn't, and I felt bad for 1 second, and then I didn't feel bad. So, I know I didn't ask, but I did think about it. I was like, dang, I didn't even ask him back how his was. How was your Easter, Matt?
There we go. Yes, there we go. My Easter was great. I watched a bunch of NCAA tournament games, which we're about to get into, and then I watched Kong and Godzilla last night.
Sounds awful.
Love a good monster movie.
No, awful.
You're not a monster movie guy, huh?
No.
I mean, this is a, you know, an ape that's as big as a skyscraper.
Yeah, I know.
No interest.
No.
Wow.
Not for me.
Wow.
I'm glad you had a good day, though.
Well, I also watched a monster movie on Saturday because Caitlin Clark played the CU Buffs. You want to talk about a monster. 29 points, 6 rebounds, 15 assists as Iowa knocks off J.R. Payne's Buffs 89-68. We talked about the matchup all week last week. It was a rematch of last year's Sweet 16. And it really wasn't all that close, unfortunately. 22-14 at the end of the first quarter. But even then, CU got in some early foul trouble. And Stoke, every bit as advertised as Caitlin Clark to me. Every bit.
Oh, she's the real deal, obviously. You know, if you score as much as she has scored and the records that she has set, that's impressive, right?
Special.
Yeah, it's not by fluke.
It's not by fluke?
No.
Or is it a fluke?
It's not by fluke.
Okay.
So it's a real deal. Uh-huh. She certainly is. And she's tough to deal with, man. Anytime that you can shoot, it's a little bit like Steph Curry. The floor gets widened and expanded.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, the defense has to all of a sudden come out there 5 feet past, 6 feet past the three-point line now. And that opens up everything for everyone else. And look, she's got great handles. She can shoot it from anywhere on the court. It's tough to deal with.
It was the 15 assists for me that was so impressive because, obviously, you just brought it up. I mean, she's the all-time leading scorer in college basketball history, men or women. But she was 3 of 11 from 3 and scored 29 points. That stat line could have looked a lot uglier. That could have been an even bigger blowout, which is just a testament to who she is and what she's become. And it sets up just a massive matchup tonight. Iowa and LSU in a rematch of last year's national title game. Angel Reese, Kim Mulkey, Haley Van Lith, and Caitlin Clark and company. Stoke, I cannot wait. We have arguably tonight are the two women's basketball games that I look forward to maybe more than ever. Maybe since last year's Sweet 16 and National Championship game. But before that, I'm talking about like top five women's basketball games in history tonight, in my opinion.
Well, we'll see how it shakes out.
I hope it's that way.
We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. Good year for CU, though, overall.
Great
women's
year.
Basketball. Good job. Obviously, they had a great year last year also, so kudos to them. Didn't end the way that you know they wanted it to end, I'm sure, but still another really good year for them.
Yeah, no question about it. J.R. Payne has revived that program, right? I mean, back-to-back Sweet 16s for the first time since 2003, so it is over for all of our local teams here in the NCAA tournament, except DU. DU is headed back to the Frozen Four. Huge win yesterday over Cornell. They went down 1-0. They tied it up 1-1.
Was that yesterday?
That was yesterday.
Wow.
Or no, that was the day before. Excuse me, it was the day before yesterday. Because yeah, yesterday was Boston College and then Michigan State, or Michigan last night. Those are the other participants. So you've got BU, Boston University, and DU, April 11th, to start the Frozen Four in St. Paul, Minnesota. So for the second time in 3 years, David Carl and the Pios headed back to the Frozen Four as a one seed, which was impressive because they had to go on the road, basically, to open up the NCAA tournament. They got seeded as a one, but they had to play in Springfield, Massachusetts against UMass. For all intents and purposes, it was a home crowd for UMass.
Well, there wasn't that many people there, Matt.
So I mean, you could fill out a YMCA nicely.
There wasn't
many
people there, I could tell you that. So, and that was a tough game for them, obviously. So congrats to them. Hopefully they can finish it off.
Yeah, no question. And then yesterday, the final two tickets were punched to the Final Four. Purdue and Tennessee started yesterday, which, Stoke, what a game that was. Dalton Necht, who almost came to see you, by the way, and Zach Edey, you know, 8'5" big man for Purdue, 40 points yesterday, and Purdue for the first time since 1980 back to the Final Four for the Boilermakers. Stoke.
Yeah, that was I was happy for them. I didn't mind either one of those teams winning that game. You know how do you pronounce Connect? Yeah,
Connect.
What a great story. He played. He was unbelievable in that game. The guy is such a great player. And being from right up the road here.
No question.
And then the Purdue story, right? They've had such a great team for the past, I don't know, feels like 5-6 years, and they haven't been able to take that next step and get to the Final Four, and they were finally able to do that. So great story there. And then you look at the NC State-Duke game, and
I'm
a Duke fan, and it was one of those games where it's sports. You know, it's like the Avs Canadian game last week. Just puck wasn't finding net.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, and in this game, the second half, the ball wasn't going down for them. They were getting all the bounces. NC State was.
Oh, all the lucky win, you're saying?
No, I didn't say lucky.
Sounds like you're saying it was a lucky win.
I don't know. I didn't have the volume on, but I'm watching. They tell me this, what happened here. They hit a three-pointer, and then they called a foul, and the Duke player gets trampled. And they called a foul on Duke, and they gave him the ball. It was pretty much a 5-point play. They just handed to NC State there.
Shouldn't have been standing there.
So I don't know. They reviewed it and everything and still upheld it. So really, really odd thing happened there. But you give credit to the big guy, Burns.
DJ Burns, please. Yeah. Put some respect on his name. Big
Burns, he was unbelievable. So you give them a lot of credit. I mean, he was making some tough shots.
Ridiculous.
Really, really fun story. You listen to his interview after the game, and it just seems like, obviously he's like the guy.
He's the March darling.
Yes.
That's what he is.
That whole team
great
is.
Young man.
And
yeah.
the run that they went on going through the ACC tournament and having to win it all and now going to the Final Four is really cool.
You know they were about to fire their coach in Kevin Keats. Before the conference tournament, they were getting ready to fire him after that. And all he's done has responded by winning, 10 straight elimination games. It's been unbelievable there for NC State, who is now headed back to the Final Four. And even Jokic gave DJ Burns a shout-out in the postgame last night. I was shocked to even know that Jokic knew what college basketball was, to be honest with you. And then he said he was amazing, big, skilled lefty, which, honestly, he's like a little baby Jokic. He's like a combo Jokic-Zach Randolph out there. I absolutely love it. And I love seeing Duke. Take it. Yeah. And I love how you make it about some contested three that, you know, ends up being upheld and they lose by eight. I mean,
it's a different ballgame.
Oh, that's a different ballgame.
It was a 5-point swing. Oh. So, yeah, I mean, 5 points. I mean, think of how it looks.
Please.
If you take those 5 points away. I don't know. Maybe it was a good call or not. I was just watching.
Yes.
Like I said, I didn't have the volume on, so I didn't hear the explanation. But obviously, I thought the refs could have been much better in that basketball game. But give NC State credit. Mm. Give them credit.
Should we give them some credit?
And give them a little bit of credit. Yeah, give them a little bit.
You know, I happen to notice that Chicken Fingers, Kevin Kisner, is not here today.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe a sick day because he's just so nauseous. Because, you know, he is an adopted Duke Blue Devils fan for I don't know what reason. He's from what, North Glen, Thornton, Colorado? I have no idea why he's a Duke fan.
He tells everyone he went to college there.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? He's got the fake student ID, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he says anyway. Oh, okay. So, you know, we're still working on trying to verify.
Yeah, good luck with that. Checks in the mail.
Has not been verified yet.
We'll get into Saturday's games a little bit later, but the Wolfpack and the Boilermakers have punched their ticket to the Final Four for next weekend, and bam! Just like that, we're almost done with the NCAA tournament. Pour one out, Stoke. Hey, on the other side, opening weekend for baseball. How do you like it? The Rockies. World Series this year? Could it be the year? I don't know. That's
nope. Next. You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Okay, new rule. For the next one, gotta have the lyrics. Gotta have the lyrics. Stand Up by Ludacris. I love it. Matt Smith in for Josh Dover alongside Brandon Stokely. Thanks so much for rocking with us on a Monday. Ludacris and T-Pain. How about this one? They're going to be at Cheyenne Frontier Days on Thursday, July 25th. All this week, three times a day, you're going to get a chance to win a pair of tickets to the show, Stoke. Luda and T-Pain. Come on. I mean, you and I are going to be carpooling up there for that one. Listen to The Fan, Stoke and Josh, and The Drive for your chance to win a pair of tickets. We have a pair of tickets to give away to see Luda at Cheyenne Frontier Days on July 25th. The caller for right now, 303-713-1043. Caller for 303-713-1043. Good luck. Luda and T-Pain. You ever seen either one of those guys live? I have. I've seen them both.
No.
They kill it.
No.
Both of them. Great shows.
I'll trust you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're going to see when we go up July 25th to Cheyenne Frontier Days. You, me, and Richie.
I'll meet you up there.
Yeah?
Yep.
Oh, you'll meet me?
Yeah, I'll meet you.
I mean, why don't we just save on gas?
No, because I got some other stuff a few days before, so I'm going to have to be running. I'm coming in hot.
And which day is it again?
Huh?
Which day is it?
It's the summer.
Oh, it's
summer.
Oh, it's the summer. So you've got something on that day.
Yeah.
Which day again is that?
It's a summer month.
Oh, it's a summer month. I got something every day.
isn't it like in June?
No, it's July 25th to call it for right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Perfect.
So you're busy in June and July, is what you're saying.
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Very.
I see. Well, I'll let you know how it is then.
Training camp's in July.
Well, we're not quite there yet
because
baseball season just started. The Rockies wrapped up their opening series of the year 1-3. 1-3. It was a rough start on Thursday. Most runs in an inning on opening day in the history of the modern game. Then they lose 7-3, and then they bounce back. First win of the year, 9-4. Austin Gomber on the hill doesn't get the win. And then yesterday, more of the same. A little more of the same. They got killed by Lourdes Gurriel of Arizona all weekend. I watched all four Rockies games. That is a colossal waste of time. Well, I'm performing a little experiment. I don't know if you've heard.
Oh, you are?
Yes, I'm performing a little bit of a sociological experiment, you could say.
Oh, okay.
Well, yes.
You want to explain?
Yes, my thesis?
Yes.
Yes. Well, the thesis is if a team is expected to lose 100 or more games for the second year in a row, that means if you were to, financially invest in said opponent, then you're probably going to win at a rate of 2-1 because you're expecting 100 losses and around 60-ish wins.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
So that's what I'm doing.
Okay, be interested to see.
I'll let you know.
All right, perfect.
Just call me Albert.
Can't wait to see how it shakes out.
Albert Einstein. Just a genius. I was called a genius yesterday.
Lightwave genius.
A genius yesterday by Reese?
No, hit it
lightweight
again.
Lightweight genius.
Matt Reese. Kyle Reese.
I mean, Kyle Reese.
Kyle Reese. Lightweight genius. Love that. But how about the Rockies? Stoke opening with a 1-3.
Matt Reese.
Because you just combined both of us.
That's right. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're staring at Matt. You're talking about Kyle.
There you go.
That's why. Called me a lightweight genius. But again, the Rockies 1-3. And Chris Bryant still without a hit, Stoke. Still without a hit. 0-10.
Not good. He's got to be the. Is he the highest paid Rocky right now?
Yeah, I don't even know who would be in his area.
I was thinking like Charlie, because Charlie signed an extension a couple years ago. No. But not good. You know, wasn't good last year, obviously. And he's injured a lot. I was hoping that he would just be able to stay healthy, and then we could see, all right, maybe he could provide something. And he's been healthy. He was a scratch, yesterday?
Well, it was allegedly a planned day off on day four of the season.
Yeah, which I'm not going to sit here and like think that they're making that up. A guy like Chris Bryant, like you got to have a plan for him. He's been hurt his whole time here, right? He's getting older, and you want to look at the big picture. So I think you got to have a plan for a guy like that. 4 days in a row, it's all right, let's give him that Sunday off. And then guess what? Yeah. They're playing today in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
So you got to remember that also. Uh-huh. So I don't mind that at all. Whether it's a day off, a planned day off, or a day off because you've sucked. It's like, all right, he needed a day off. He did.
Course.
So I'm fine with that. What I really didn't like was his comments. His comments he made during spring training. Mm. And now you're coming out playing like this.
Mm.
And I don't remember exactly what. Do you remember what his comments were?
Of course.
Were? Okay.
Yeah, I should have
paraphrase them.
I should have done more research on their prospect pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That.
No kidding, Chris.
Well, hey, guess what? The Rockies should have done more research on you.
Well, that goes without saying. That goes without saying. But don't be mad at Chris over that. Chris just cashed a bag. Be mad at the Rockies for being stupid.
Did I say I was mad at him?
Okay,
for that?
All right. I'm just making sure.
He got But look, you know what? You know what I'm mad at him about. You want to know what I'm mad at him about?
What are you mad at him about?
You get paid a bleep ton of money.
Mm.
Just put a damn smile on your face and shut your mouth.
You're just so
shut your mouth.
You're just so pretty. We just want to look at your face. I mean, $175 million.
Just be quiet. Right? Why should you have looked at the prospect pool more? You went to the team that was going to pay you the most money. But don't run your mouth now when you haven't performed. You see what I'm saying? Hey, guess what? Here, I'll break it down for you like this. If I went somewhere and they paid me a ton of money that was fully guaranteed, okay, and I was playing bad ball, I wouldn't open my mouth at all.
Not a word.
Not a word, man. I would say, I hope they don't notice how bad I'm playing. I certainly wouldn't draw more attention to it. That's a clown show to do something like that. So I didn't like that at all.
I believe they call that pulling a Russ, by the way.
Pulling a Russ?
Yeah, I believe that's the official term when you look it up.
Right. That could also be.
So he's pulling a Russ.
Yeah.
He's pulling a Russ. At least he hasn't painted the World Series trophy on his cleats, because I think that would be a bridge too far. But look, $28 million, 7 strikeouts, and 10 at-bats. I mean, break that down per strikeout. I think that's great value. I think it's great value. And look, Chris, you've done enough. 3 games, 0-10. Why don't we just take a seat? You haven't done jack squat in a Rockies uniform. Sure, game 4. Why don't you sit down?
I don't mind that, actually. Like I told you, I don't mind that at all.
Well, you had to get your beauty rest before Chicago. Because
exactly.
The real game is today. At 12:20, the Rockies and the Cubs. I'll give you $25 right now. You can name me both starters.
Oh, gosh. No.
Starts with a D.
No. I'm not even going there. No, I can't.
Yeah,
sorry.
You want to play Dakota Hudson on the mound for the Rockies. Drew, that's a free agent pickup, right, from the Cardinals?
It is, yep.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
What was his number? You know what? What were his numbers last year? We're going to Drew behind the glass for a quick pitching breakdown of Dakota Hudson. And who's the Cubs starter today, Stoke?
I didn't know if that was Dakota was the Cubs starter or the Rocky starter.
Well,
so that's
you learn something new every day.
We actually picked someone up in free agency?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
They did. Well, they picked up several starters, and Cal Quantrill in game 2 got absolutely shelled. That's the one thing about the Rockies, on a serious note about this baseball team. We'll follow them until they absolutely fall off the face of the earth by the end of this week. Every starter that threw in Arizona got hit hard. hard, Stoke, because Senzatella and Marquez aren't out. So even if you are the most optimistic Rockies fan and you were drinking Dinger's juice, I'm just here to tell you, I mean, just, you know, it's a little bit of dinosaur juice. You know, I mean, don't they, you know, something like that? Oh, you got a stats? All right, pull up Dakota Hudson.
All right, he's going to fit right in here with his 4.98 ERA from 2023.
All right.
1.50 whip.
You know what you like about that? It shows command. You know, it shows command, control, consistency.
I'm checked out, man. I'm done.
Already?
Yeah, I said it on whenever, Thursday, Friday. I'm like, I'm not going to pay attention unless they earn my attention.
Mm.
You got to earn my attention by playing well. And or have a couple young guys that are playing well. Other than that, like, why am I going to bother watching a team just get their ass whipped? I mean, seriously.
Great question.
I mean, like, that.
Great question.
Like,
because it's on TV.
Because
it's on TV.
So are a lot of other things, Matt. A lot of other things are on TV, too. So, like, I value my time and my sanity.
That is a good
okay?
point. Yeah.
So, like, I'm not going to sit down and watch the Rockies play bad ball, just like awful ball. So we'll see what it looks like. But right now, I'm kind of already checked out on this team, unfortunately. And I love watching the Rockies, but I'm not going to do it, man.
What about today, though? I mean, 12:20, Wrigley Field, opening day. I mean,
well, you're a Cubs fan, right?
Yeah, Drew's so is Drew.
It's
so
the worst day to do a show.
This is the best
you.
Day. This is the best day.
Yeah, so I guess we're gonna have to have it on and all watch right. bad baseball. Cubs. Well, Cubs probably stink.
Do we? Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, they just lost their ace for the first month of the season. Oh. Yeah, in Texas, they did not play well. Although we're gonna have it on. I mean, should we have a little? You know, a little no run.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's what we'll go with. A little no run, no run. That game at 12:20 first pitch. On the other side, the Nuggets are headed down the home stretch here, but Michael Malone has some interesting decisions to make, and I'll bounce them off Stoke next. Drinking Dinger's juice.